Okay, so I just want you to be aware of your bodies, of your senses. Come into the three-dimensionality of your body. Be aware of your body's contact with whatever you're sitting on. Be aware of your body's extension in space. And bring that sense of touch into relationship with the sense of hearing. Hearing the sound of my voice, hearing other sounds in the room or outside the room, hearing inner sounds. Letting hearing relate to touching as you deepen your sense of presence. So touching and hearing, hearing and touching. Noticing your breath moving your body, noticing the contact between your breath and the sense of touch. Being touched by the world and touching the world. Hearing the world, being heard by the world. Adding the sense of seeing, which if your eyes are closed, will maybe just a grayness or a blackness or vague shapes of color, or within a vision might be something much brighter. But however vision presents itself, connecting it to hearing and touching as you deepen your sense of presence. So touching, hearing, seeing. Breathing in, we add the sense of smell. Smelling the moment, smelling the room. Sense of smell may be acute or might not be so acute, but however it presents itself, letting it connect to seeing, hearing and touching as you deepen your sense of presence. Touching, hearing, seeing, smelling. Paying attention to your mouth and your tongue, that most intimate sense of taste. Tasting the moment, tasting experience, that may just be the aftertaste of food or drink. But letting tasting combine together with smelling, seeing, hearing and touching. As you deepen your sense of presence. Allowing the senses to come together with the sixth sense of gnosis, of inner knowing. And as they do come together, it is as if you fold inwards and downwards. And as you do so, you find yourself on an inner pathway. It felt like stepping stones across time and space. Stepping from one to another. Taking you to a landscape, to a place where you find yourself approaching a circle of quite small stones. Slightly in front of the circle, there is a hooded figure with a sharp sword, who holds a sword against your breast and challenges you. Why are you here? Why do you explore these things? You note the sharpness of the sword, the clarity of the sword. As the sword touches you, it is as if this clarity enters your heart and your bones. And suddenly the way is clear for you. And you contemplate the circle of stones. And the hawthorn hedge that surrounds them. But at this point, you do not enter the circle. You contemplate the circle from without. You notice its orientation to the four directions. You notice the central empty space. You become aware of the circle of your life, the circle of the life of the universe. And beyond the circle, you see a solitary stone, a great standing stone. Pointing upwards, like a rod or a spear. And you know instinctively that this is the King Stone. And you are drawn to this stone. Drawn to its sharpness, its uprightness, its energy. Its grittiness. Its substantiality and the sense of power that rests around it. And as you place your hands upon the stone, it is as if you step into the stone. And it is as if you stand with all those who wield the rod, who work with will and intention. You feel that sense of sovereignty and the deep fire of will and the great lineage that goes back for many thousands of years, those who work with the wand, those who hold the spear, those who work with will. And you're held within this great community of beings. And that sense of inner sovereignty, the sense of uprightness, of focus, of being a channel for the fire of heaven. Feeling that power rising up through the spine. Feeling the ability to create, to will. As that energy fully integrates into you, you step out of the stone, and a little way distant, you see a mound and a cave, with a Trithilian doorway. It's hard to see, for there's a mist about it. But you are drawn to this place, bearing with you the clarity of the sword, the energy and directionality of the rod. You bend your head to enter a warm and steamy place. Find yourself walking along a narrow corridor, feeling your way. There are many carvings in the stones on either side of you. And you come to a more open space. And in front of you there is a woman who is at once 1 and 3 and 9. The whole something that constantly changes. This cup, it is cauldron, it is jewel. His dish. It is a cupped hand. And you enter into communion with this figure, who is one and many. And in this place, you're aware of the phases of the moon, of waxing, of full, of waning, and of dark, and all are simultaneously present. You experience yourself as the living chalice, as the living cup, as the living cauldron. In a sense, it is both, you are both the cauldron and the cup, and you enter into the cauldron and the cup, being remade, reshaped, around the core of clarity and will. You are made new. And being made new are one with all who hold the cauldron cup, male and female, and of neither gender, throughout the generations. And you take a further step. And find yourselves in a deep, dark light filled with stars. You are drawn to the constellation of the Pleiades, to the seven sisters who see you, who bless you. Recreate you. And together they place you within the circle of stones. Against the stone that feels like your stone, your place. And around the circle you see the others who are one with you, each by their own stone, each connected to each connected to the earth and the stars, each bearers of the sword and the rod, of the cup, and now the stone. Each and all in their place. And as the sense of the coming together, of the sword and the stone, of the rod and the cup, coalesces in our bodies, the images fade, and we find ourselves sitting in our room, letting our senses bring us back into the room. Contemplating the mystery. Gradually just let your senses bring you into your room. And when you're ready, just opening your eyes.